We haven't entirely nailed down what element it is yet, but I'll tell you this, it's a lively one.
Let's give your parents a call right now.
Hello, welcome to episode number 118 of Gaming with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner. I'm the mother of a five-year-old. I've also been hanging around the video game industry for a pretty long time. And looks like I'm going to be joining the Geek Embassy soon, which is super excited about that.
Yay!
I am joined by Regina McMenemy, who is the mom of a three-year-old and is it editor-in-chief that you call yourself at the Geek Embassy?
I say executive editor.
Executive editor.
Executive editor.
Executive editor.
Yeah. That's fancy.
I like it. For self-appointed titles, it goes pretty far.
Yeah, exactly. And then also joined by Stephen Dutzman, who is editor and founder of EngageFamilyGaming.com and the father of three kids. Hey, Stephen.
My designated title is editor-in-chief.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What I call myself.
Okay.
But also owner.
Okay.
Yeah, I say founder.
Yeah,
that's what I say founder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were at PAX Unplugged. Stephen.
I was.
Yeah. And so one thing I want to just bring up really quickly is your wife posted this on Facebook, this picture of your daughter in tears because she thought you were going to be bit by a vampire because you were in Pennsylvania.
Because she thought it was Transylvania.
Yes.
Right.
She was very upset that I was going to get bit by a vampire bat and turn into a vampire. So that was pretty cute.
Yeah.
It was pretty cute. It's kind of terrifying, like, what it was like to be in her world for that for that brief moment in time.
Yeah.
It's kind of I felt the same way about her that I feel about, like, flat earthers. Like, you know, like, what kind of a horrifying world do you live in?
Yeah.
But she got over it for a moment, and then my wife showed her on the map that Transylvania is actually very far away, and Pennsylvania was rather close because I drove there in one day. And
yeah.
She goes, okay, so it would have taken many days for him to get there. Yes, and then everything was fine.
Nice.
Learning. It's a good learning opportunity.
Yeah. Yep,
she learned some geography.
Yeah. So how was PAX Unplugged? Did you have a good time?
Yes.
You had to think about that?
It needs work.
Oh, okay.
No, it needs work.
Okay.
It's their first one. There were some growing pains, as one would expect. I mean, it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
So, It was good. I played some good games. I made some good connections. I think the event itself needed some work.
Uh-huh.
It did not help that the event was being held the same weekend as the Philadelphia Marathon. So that was an interesting cross-section of humanity,
like
a bunch of board game nerds and a bunch of marathon runners. So I've never been to a Panera Bread where they literally ran out of bread. But that was my life. So, it was interesting,
yeah.
But it was a great experience. I got to play Stuffed Fables,
okay.
Which is
so jealous.
Definitely my most anticipated board game of the year. And
are you writing
Regina's
that down, Regina?
I'll find my notes here. I'll make a subsection for board games.
But Regina knew that already.
I knew
so
that
she
already.
Didn't she didn't
that.
Really need to put it in notes.
Yeah.
The elevator pitch for Stuffed Fables, because you may even care about it, Nicole,
okay.
is it is a miniatures like role playing game type thing where
uh-huh.
you play as a little girl's stuffed animals
uh-huh.
who come to life at night to protect her and her belongings from creepy crawly things. Picture the bad guy, like the toys that bad kid makes in Toy Story.
Yeah.
Like those things. And so you have to protect them. So like there are four characters right now. One of them is her mom's old stuffed rabbit. And so it's all like a grizzled war veteran. And so that by itself, whatever, you know, like the idea is the girl, it's her first night in a big girl bed.
So the
grizzled war veteran who's been through all this before is like, okay, guys, she's not under the protection of the magical walls of her crib anymore. So you need to be ready to go to war. And they're like, what are you talking about? Everything's going to be fine. And then like demon spiders show up and try and steal all her stuff. And then we beat the crap out of them. What's cool about this game and what makes it unique and what is in 2 years at Gen Con, we're going to see at least two or three dozen of these games get announced, is it uses a thing called an adventure book, which is essentially, it's a choose-your-own-adventure book where it's in a spiral bound thing where on the left side of the page is the game map, which may or may not be a grid or for a miniatures combat or some other representation. In some cases, it's just a key art because all you have is a role play scenario. And on the right hand side is the Dungeons and Dragons adventure text where it gives you text to read for the story and the rules. And so you can have entire encounters that are built around one rule that never matters anywhere else. And you don't have to put it in a rule book. You literally just put that rule on that page and it's there, which is super cool. The book is super thick. So there's lots of different ways to go through it. We played through the first two pages, and at the end of the second page, they gave us three different potential outcomes. One of them we could choose to do, and two of them were determined entirely by our performance in there. So if on page two you get three different options, we know that it's just going to get wild from there. So the miniatures were cool. The combat is neat because it's all you're pulling dice out of a bag and the different colored dice do different stuff. Super rad. If you go to the EngageFamilyGaming.com Instagram, so that's Instagram.com/EngageFamilyGaming, you're going to see all sorts of pictures. I posted a bunch of them. I am so hype for that board game. Like, you don't even understand. I interviewed Jerry Hawthorne, the designer, on my podcast, and he got me even more hype. This is just, it's going to be great. And that adventure book mechanic is going to take over the freaking world. There's, I mean, it's going to be awesome. So, yeah.
Cool.
PAX Unplugged was good. I didn't get to eat a Philly cheesesteak in Philadelphia, though.
Well, you know what? The Philly cheesesteaks, it's really funny because, like, there are, like, two versions of Philly cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. So there's one that you would think of, like, with the provolone cheese and the onions and the peppers and mushrooms and all that kind of stuff. But there's also a Philly cheesesteak that is just the meat and cheddar cheese. So it's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are, like, two types of cheesesteak.
And I didn't get to have either of them because for a city.
Yeah.
Because we were like in a city, everything closed at 6 o'clock or seven.
Yeah.
Which was super weird because like when we were in L.A., everything was open basically 24 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, and when I'm in New York, everything is open forever. And I'm like, this is Philadelphia. It's got to be. Nope. Apparently, it's basically Hartford. And I don't even think the two of you guys know where Hartford is. So
I know where Hartford
is.
Yeah, I know where it is. I wasn't making – Hartford's definitely not in New York. Hartford is the capital of Connecticut.
She said she lived in New York. So she was in that area to know
where I was really not making – I knew you guys knew where Hartford was. I was really just making fun of Hartford. I knew you guys actually knew because it's the capital of Connecticut. At some point, you had to learn the capitals of the states.
Yeah.
But – It was weird, but what are you going to do? I got food at a Starbucks because apparently the Starbucks was open until 11, but the Hard Rock Cafe closed at 10. Yeah. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like that. Actually, it was pretty much like that in London as well. Like everything closed really early, like especially on Sunday. Like everything was closed really early. It was kind of weird. So,
yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It was a good show though.
Cool. You met Jody.
I did meet Jody.
Yeah.
And we took a picture and sent it to you.
Yes.
She's intense. Spoilers.
I know she is.
She's pretty intense.
She talks and talks and talks and talks.
Yes. She didn't really have a chance to do that while we were at the show because she was super busy.
Yeah.
But like I couldn't find her because no one ever like I've never seen a picture of her ever. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, like, I was in the general vicinity of where she was, and there were a bunch of women. So I knew she wasn't like the big bearded guys. So that
narrowed
like,
it down
that
for
out.
You.
Yeah. That narrowed it down. But then, like, I didn't want to walk up to like some random woman and be like, "By the way, are you Jody?" That's just weird. So I was like, "How am I going to find this out?" So I was going to like wait, like off to the side, and see if she had a name tag on. But she didn't.
Right.
None of them did.
Yeah.
And so then I waited like nearby, like messing around with my phone to see if one of them would call her name. Didn't happen. And so then I sent you a picture, or I asked you to send me a picture.
I know, and I didn't check it.
and you didn't check it in time. And then another one of the people was like, oh, Engage Family Gaming, do you know Jody? And I was like, no, but I'm supposed to meet her here. Could you get her for me? And she's like, yeah, she's literally right there. And I'm like, oh, and it turned out that it was the woman that I was looking at the whole time. So it was fine. Nice. We had a she's super nice, but she kept texting me like 10:30 at night. Hey, come to the convention center. We're here until midnight. Do an open play. I'll totally teach you Fallout. And I'm like, bro, I'm old. I can't do that.
Yeah,
I'm already in my hotel room working.
Once she gets into convention mode, she will play 24 hours and try to get you to come play. That's just her convention mode. But she also, like, she's the personality of someone who will invite anybody to everything. So, like, she met somebody new, like, 2 days before her birthday and invited them to her birthday party. That's the type of person that she is. So, I'm not surprised.
She determined that being that I am your friend, ostensibly, that means that I am automatically her friend.
Yes.
So, she had 5 minutes of phone conversation was like, hey, if you ever come to Seattle and you don't want to stay with Nicole, you could stay with me. And I was like, if I don't want to stay with Nicole, I could stay in a hotel. I'm sure there's one. It's fine. I don't need to intrude.
Yeah, that's just because you don't know how expensive hotels are in Seattle yet.
I saw the bill for the hotel in the downtown Philadelphia. It was probably approximately as bad.
Yeah.
Depending on the season. Seattle can get really expensive.
On a weekend with a giant convention and the Philadelphia Marathon, they jack those things up, at least I assume.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
it was still funny. I was talking to Isaac and I'm like, you know what, looks, Steven's going to meet Jody in person before he's even met me in person.
We have to fix this. We have to have a time where all three of us can be in the same place at the same time.
Exactly. Because I haven't met Regina in person.
I know,
either.
We haven't met yet. We met Isaac.
Because I was like, I was sort of like counting on you coming to Geek Girl Con. But
right.
Then like, no, I'm like,
and then that fell through. I'll be at Geek Girl Con next year.
Yes, cool. So we're going to pitch a Game of Thrones panel.
Yes.
I'm all in on that.
Yes.
Can I be on your Game of Thrones panel? I'll just sit off to the side and like make sarcastic comments
just
the whole
cackle.
Time. Now, the problem is I would never do that at a panel because then there would be a riot.
Right.
Like the troll color commentator would not go well.
I was trying to think of how we could do it with you doing it in character somehow. And so I was trying to think if we could dress you up as Tyrion somehow and get you, like, you know, the scar across the face, and we'll give you a goblet of red wine and you can just, like, drink and I drink and I know things, you know, or something like
except
that.
For the fact that I don't know things because I don't watch the show.
You just need to say that line because...
Yeah, I know that line. That line I know because internet. So anyway, video games?
Yes. Well, let's go on to video games. So we talked a lot last week about Star Wars Battlefront 2 and its huge mess.
And then more stuff happened.
Yeah, and DICE said, hey, we screwed up. And then they shut off all microtransactions and whatnot
For now.
Until they figure out what's going on. So, but reviews are starting to come in, and most of them are kind of meh. I haven't seen anybody give it like a really great review. So, Polygon gave it I think Polygon gave it the highest of the ones that I looked at. I think they gave it like a 7. GameSpot was like...
Which is good.
It is good.
I mean,
good.
By most 10-point scales, a 7 is good. So I accept that it is a good game.
Yes. GameSpot gave it a 6. IGN,
which is good. I think that's mediocre for them.
Yeah. IGN, I believe... Well, IGN broke the review into 2 pages. Why? Why?
Because they want people to, because they want to get 2 clicks for the people that only want to look at the score.
I know exactly why. I just hate.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I should have known that you knew.
Yeah.
I was mansplaining.
Yeah. So they gave it.
My bad.
A 6.5. Yeah.
Which is good on their scale also.
Yeah. So on Metacritic, it's sitting at 69.
What's the user at right now, Bella? Though.
The user?
On Metacritic. What's the user? Are you on Metacritic.com or did you just take the notes?
Yeah.
At one point, the user was like one. It was just awful.
That's 51 critics.
The user score is 0.9.
Yeesh. none of that surprises me. I mean, the reality is you can always expect that users are going to be obnoxious about some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But part of me is kind of like, all right, so they took out the microtransactions.
Yeah.
Which, first off, the number of people on my own wall who I had to, like, in my friends list who defended the game by saying microtransactions are still in and complaining about microtransactions that doesn't ruin the game because I didn't spend any money and I can still, you know, kick butt in multiplayer. And me being like, no, I know for a fact that they removed them. How did you spend money? And he goes, well, I spent $60 and then I earned all these crystals and then I spent the crystals on the things. And I was like, okay.
No.
So you just can't buy crystals anymore, guys. That's what that means.
Yeah.
And you're just going to be able to buy crystals in like 6 months. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to let everybody get it out of their system. And then when the game slows down, then they'll add the microtransactions and then it'll be fine-ish. Won't be fine, but then it won't, then the whole pay to win thing won't matter because everybody will already be playing it. That's going to play it. Like nobody's going to pick it up late.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that. They screw this up so hard. Like, how do you screw up Star Wars? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I get that they screwed up Need for Speed Payback. That was stupid, but, like, I get that they screwed that up. But, like, Star Wars, bruh? Like, yeah. Battlefield 1 was one of the best-selling games of last year, and it came out in, like, November. Like,
yeah.
You know? Like, just shut up and make your buckets of money. It's just... I normally am a huge corporate apologist. I have been on the show a number of times.
Yeah.
I was on the Gamers with Joms podcast where I was like, nope, it's fine. I don't care. Spent, you know, charge the money. Microtransactions are okay because they gotta get paid. And now I'm just like, you know what? Screw you guys.
Yeah.
There comes a point where even I can't be an apologist anymore. Yeah. And I work in health insurance, people. Right.
So for me, I don't mind them. It's just as that was the pay to win thing. And I read it. There was an article where some type of investment banker was interviewed about this, and he brought up the point that people do bring up, but I don't think bring up enough, is that $60 for a game is extremely cheap. Relatively, how much it costs to make them and everything. Mm-hmm. $60 is really cheap. And like, you know, companies are just trying to get more money up above that because nobody can raise the price. Like it has to be sort of like everybody's got to agree for anybody to raise the price. So, So the $60, that's been in place for a while, and it's definitely due to be up.
Xbox, when the Xbox 360 came out, is when they raised it to from 50 from the PS, from the Xbox, the original Xbox, and the PS2 went to $60. And I remember the outcry. I remember when the PS3 and the Xbox 360 came out, and I was like, all right, games are $60. My wife said to me, well, I guess you're not buying games anymore. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's only $10. And you know what? If they went up to just charge $70, guys.
Yeah.
Just charge $70. Yeah. I think that a good, healthy number of the people would just do it. Mm-hmm. And everybody else would bitch while they do it. Because right. You might be, you know, like, there are a lot of people that spend $100 on like the big collector's editions anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
So if they just raise the base price of the game, most people will just pay it or they'll just buy it used or do whatever they're doing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, come on. It's $10.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that there's some people that can only afford like one game every couple of months and, you know, and that's true. But you know what? And there's some people that only get like one game a year. But if it's only one game a year, it's only $10. That's... Right. Less than a large Big Mac meal. Like,
or going to the movies.
Yeah.
Or going to the movies, which is entertainment that only lasts for 2 hours or two and a half or whatever, you know.
I love that Steven's the first metaphor.
Point of reference.
The first reference is a McDonald's. It's a Big Mac meal.
Or a burrito, or like three burritos. I mean, what do you want? Of course it's food, because I'm on this podcast, I'm the captain of Team Fat. Shout out to Greg Miller.
Yeah. Oh, man. So that's Battlefront. I still don't know if we're going to get it or not. I
broke the news to Evan
about it. Well,
did he have an opinion?
He had a problem with the microtransactions on top of the base game, which is, you know, it's a little more of aggressive of an opinion than mine. Like, I'm okay with them on top of the base game. I just think they need to not affect gameplay. You know, they need to be cosmetic and things like that.
When That's it makes where, things imbalanced, once you imbalance the power between who pays and who doesn't, it's a difference.
Yeah.
What did Isaac think? I'm super curious about his opinion. Was he
I just told you. He thinks that there should not be microtransactions on top of the cost of the base game.
Right.
Granted.
You gotta forgive me. I'm stupid, and I didn't understand that that's what he said.
Oh, okay. But he's also obviously in the camp that games are too cheap. So yeah. So there's that. That's what I think pretty much what any game developer is going to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he sees the spreadsheets. I mean, I'm sure you maybe have seen one. I've never seen a spreadsheet.
He doesn't
so
see the spreadsheets.
So I absolutely believe it.
Yeah.
Well, how much power do you think he has? Programmers don't see spreadsheets, except for it's code type stuff that they do. They aren't like privy to any sales, anything.
I'm sure they know like how much stuff costs. I'm sure he has he has more of an idea than me, is what I really am getting at.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean, I think he had a really good idea of how much stuff costs when he was working at the indie dev in California. Yeah. Right now, I don't think he has any clue. Although he did mention to me
I'm sure he has some clue. I'm sticking up for Isaac here.
Okay,
I give him a lot of trash, about his opinions about Final Fantasy games and things like that. Yeah. But I'm sure he has more of an idea than the three of us collectively about how much it costs. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. I mean, he did know a very specific number about how much it costs to do a closed beta for 2 hours on a weekend. And that wasn't cheap. anything else about Battlefront that we want to talk to? It seems like the campaign has been meh too, but Polygon seemed to be pretty positive on the campaign, which is really the only thing that I care about with the game anyhow. I'm going to play multiplayer. So
I hadn't heard anybody say it was bad.
Yeah.
I heard people say that it was good or that it was okay.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard anybody, I also haven't heard anybody say that it's like blowing their socks off.
Right. Yeah. So.
So that probably tells us all we need to know.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things said that it was like fan service. I'm like, well, what the hell do you expect? Of course they're going to do fan service stuff. It's Star Wars. Like.
Yeah,
The Force Awakens was like complete fan service. Like, come on, people. Anyhow, so that's that. So if you've got Battlefront 2, let us know what you think. Send an email to gamingwiththemoms@gmail.com or tweet at us @gamingwithmoms. So speaking of games that were available back in the day, Uncharted is 10 years old now.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
I refuse to accept that.
Yeah. So in celebration of Uncharted's 10th birthday, you can get a bunch of little themes and whatnot on PlayStation 4 for free. So there's quite a few. There's like a full theme. There are some packs, costume packs and whatnot. And then they also... are having something else. Oh, here we go. Points and relics in Uncharted 4 are going to be discounted until December 19th. So.
How neat.
If you like Uncharted, you can grab some stuff for free. I mean, I like it, but I don't think I like it enough to grab any of these other things unless they look really cool, which sometimes is the case. But, yeah.
I'm going to go download the pack.
Yeah.
Like, tonight, just because why not?
You know,
They're free for now. They won't be free later.
Yeah.
May as well download it, drop it in my account. You never know when I'll feel the spirit tell me that I need to have an Uncharted 4 theme on my PS4.
Have you even played any of those games, Steven?
I played about 2 hours of Uncharted 2.
Okay.
It's not that I don't want to play them. It's just there's so much other good stuff. And
yeah.
Also, he shoots a lot of people. And so I have to be very choosy about my shooting people in the head games.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I would tell you that Tomb Raider would be above Uncharted. Listeners can probably...
Yo, that game is so messed up.
Which one?
That game. I've played the Tomb Raider.
Okay. Both of them?
The new Tomb Raider.
Oh, okay.
Not the newest one. Is the newest one more gruesome than the first one? Because the first one was pretty messed up.
Oh, Rise of the Tomb Raider? No, the Headcount and Rise of the Tomb Raider is more than the first one. Definitely more.
Because the first one was really high. So, but I played the first one, and I'm going to play the second one.
Yeah, it's good. I love eventually. Like the story of the first one a little bit more than the second one. But anyhow, we're getting off topic there a little bit, but that's okay.
People expect that now.
Yeah, there's not a ton of news anyhow because we're headed into the lull. Yes.
Yeah.
So Pokemon Go is going to be having another event. Go figure. And it's happening definitely as you're listening to this because it's happening as we're recording it. So from the November 20th through the 26th, the Pokemon Go Global Catch Challenge is going to give you prizes based on how many Pokemon collectively are caught by everybody in the world. And that number is actually literally billions. Like, they want people to collect at least 1 billion Pokemon to give out some of these prizes. It's crazy. But one of the things that's notable is that you're going to see some Pokemon outside of their normal region, which, you know, will give you a chance to catch them without having to go to Korea or something like that. So
useful.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there is somebody who has done that. I'm positive
there's at least one person
who has gone to Korea to catch the Pokemon there. Anyhow, so... So there's so there's that. This is also kind of a funny story that was on Polygon, which was interesting in that, and we'll get to, you know, the most recent thing on this date, but November 21st, Nintendo has released lots and lots of things on November 21st throughout the years. So, like, they've got this whole list. I'm going to go down a little bit. F-Zero, Super Mario World, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, Yoshi's Cookie, Donkey Kong Country, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, Pokemon Gold and Pokemon Silver, Sin and Punishment, which I don't even know what that is, Super Smash Bros. Melee, Pokemon Ruby and Pokemon Sapphire, Pokemon Colosseum, the DS, Metroid Prime Hunters, Super Mario 64 DS, Donkey Kong Country Returns, Super Mario 3D World, Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, Smash Brothers for Wii U, Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival, and then today, we are recording on the 21st, by the way, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp has been released. So that's a lot of stuff to have been released on the same date.
Yeah, no kidding. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, granted, this is over, like... See, whatever. See, oh, so F-Zero was in 1990. So that's how many?
It's almost 30 years. Yeah. Almost 30 years. I mean, it is one of the days before. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Considering that it's near Black Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And so Nintendo is really good at just dropping that bomb right before.
Yes.
Just boom.
Yes.
They're really good at that. And this year they did it with, I mean, they basically did it with Mario Odyssey.
Mm, yeah. But yeah, like I said, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is out now. I've been playing it since I learned that it was out. Actually, I downloaded it and couldn't start playing it because I had volunteered to help out in the book fair and a school. So I'm like, man, now I gotta go do my volunteer time at the book fair, which it's not terrible, but they bring in the classes, you know, from their classroom. They can come in and look and buy stuff and all that kind of stuff, so they don't have to do it like after school. And so I was there. There were three different classes that came in during the time when I was there. There was a third grade, a fourth grade, and a sixth grade, I think. And man, oh man, I have not been around large groups of children enough to be prepared.
To be ready for that.
Yeah. Like in the poor librarian, she's like, please don't run. Don't run. Don't run. And then there was these kids were doing this, like, it was this really annoying thing that they thought was hilarious, where they were like, I can't even remember what it is now, but it made me want to like pull my ears off my head. I kept like pointing to random books and going, look at this dude. And then they go up and do it to another one. And I'm like, dude, I don't want you to look at any more dudes. Please just stop. But yeah.
Dudes with the duding.
Yeah.
It could be worse. I guess. It could have been dabbing.
That's what I thought you were going to say, actually. I thought for sure that was going to be the thing.
Because let me tell you.
Get enough around
you
enough.
You don't understand until you have oh my God. They just do it nonstop. Nonstop. And now, admittedly, I encourage it in some ways. We were at the wedding the other week. I took a picture of myself and my son dabbing in our tuxes together. Mm-hmm. But that's different. Like, it's supposed to be a celebration. That's what Cam Newton, the football player, did to it. He made it a celebration. You don't need to celebrate like eating a chicken nugget or like you don't like it is the dabbing is like the participation trophy of end zone dances. And I'm done with it. But I can't ground them or anything for dabbing because it's not really bad. But like,
yeah,
I just can't wait for them to find a new thing. And they just need a new thing.
Yeah.
And it's awful.
Wasn't your wife saying that at the start of this school year? She's like, when's a new thing going to happen? I need to be over
there. And it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
And it's almost Christmas break, you know? Like, oh, it is. Guys, tweet at us if you feel bad about the dabbing. Because there are other people that listen to this, I know, that have children who dab too much. And it's like, oh, my God.
You should make a Facebook group.
Facebook parents of children
with kids who dab too much.
Who dab too much. Oh, my God. Like, it's just like, come on, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny initially. And sometimes they just don't understand that they need to time it correctly.
Right.
You know, like it would be hilarious.
Vitality.
Yeah. Now they need to do it ironically. Right. Like when I say things like totes. And when I say things like, I literally can't even, right? Like, I should not be saying things like, I literally can't even, right? Like, I can't, but when I do it, it's to be ironic, because then it's right. Funny. But if I did it literally all the time, people would be like, Steve, what's wrong with you? And I'd be like, well, you know, like, I'm basic. I can't help it. And it's just so, I try to convince them and they won't listen. So at least the kids in that book fair were not dabbing.
Right. There was one kid that was, this made me so happy. He was wearing a t-shirt that said, tough guys wear pink. And it was a pink shirt. And I'm like, that gives me all the feels. That is just fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he seemed to be popular amongst his friends too.
Good. Yeah.
It's just so funny, like I'm remembering sort of all this stuff that like I was into as a kid, because I like these huge like posters that you can get with a unicorn or with kittens and cute sayings. And there were two girls that were talking about how they should get the same journal, because that would be so cool if they had the same journal and their friends. And I'm like, wow, man, how long is this going to happen till Anna? Actually, it's already happening with her. She has her best friend that she has made already. She says that they're BFFs. She was asking what BFF meant the other day, and Isaac told her. So she said they're BFFs, and they're already, like, they're doing the same things. Because Anna, like, we have her purchase her lunch every day, because I just don't pack lunches. That's not something that I ever want to do. I suppose if Anna had a health issue, that would be one thing. But no, she buys her lunch every day, and apparently her friend bought with her, which she normally doesn't. So she came home, and I'm like, well, which lunch did you have? And she's like, oh, yeah, I had the pizza. And Pia bought two, and we were all the same. And I'm like, wow. The thing that I'm worried about with Anna, though, is that she's very, what's the word I want to use for it? She doesn't have any siblings, so she kind of likes to, like, drive everything herself. Mm-hmm. So I feel bad for this little girl, because I feel like Anna is sort of, I can't even think of the word.
Have you seen the two? Well, I mean, she's an alpha.
Right, there's exactly. A word, yeah.
There's a word for that, but I'm not going to say it. Right. But if she's an alpha, then it could be, it could be fine, because you don't know what the other girl, because the other girl could be an alpha too, and they could just at each other.
I don't think she is. We went trick-or-treating with her.
Okay.
So yeah, so I like totally think that.
Then she's probably fine.
Yeah. It was funny because her dad was like saying like, oh, they always love to play dragons. And so when he said that, like, I knew that that is an Anna thing. That is what she tries to get people to play with her all the time, is dragons. So,
Regina, where did that come from?
Yeah, I wonder.
This dragon thing. Like, I'm just trying to think. I mean, you're the doctor. You're the doctor.
Yeah.
Can you suss out where this dragon nonsense came from?
Yeah.
The land of make believe.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was Puff, right?
No, she does all this kind of weird stuff. We actually got into a bit of an issue at her aftercare thing. It's called Champions. She goes there after school, and it's really cool because it's basically like it's more school for the most part. But we ran into an issue there because she is like telling a dragon story, and she's like, you know, Brother Bear bit his sister, and then the sister died, and I'm like, oh, geez, yeah. We don't say that word at school ever. Like, it's okay if you say it here in our presence at home. That's okay. Do not say it at school. So we've had the first one of those. So,
yeah, I emailed.
Spoilers, you're going to have a lot of those.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, especially when they're sensitive and tuned in, or you're having, you know, they play games and things like that. I think they're more likely to learn the phraseology of it than they might be otherwise.
Yeah. Well, she already, I mean, she doesn't do it all the time, but she already, like, swears. And for us, it's like, they're just words, you know? I mean, we don't try to, like, when she's with some of my other friends' kids, then we try to keep it, you know, under control. But for her, like, we're like, whatever, you know? She hasn't done it at school, at least to my knowledge, but one reason why I knew that she did this, and she was using it, all of the phrases in complete correct manner, is she was building something out of Legos in her room, and I heard it fall over, because I heard that, you know, the crash sound that Legos make when they fall over, and she's all like, I don't want to say it all in here, but she's just like, God damn it, this effing thing. It was just so funny because it's coming out of a sweet little mouth and a high pitched voice, and it's just hilarious. Yeah. Anyhow,
listen, man. When kids cuss, it's funny. Other times you're at church. And you're like,
other times you're at church.
I've been lucky.
Not us.
Well, you guys don't run into that problem. So, I am very fortunate that none of my friends' children have learned curse words from me, because I intentionally, like, every time I see them, I yell, dude, and so they learn dude from me, and that's it. So that's why I'm Uncle Dude, but they don't, and I'm fine with that. I'll be the Big Lebowski. It's cool. I'm fat like that. So I don't do enough weed, but it's fine. Everything's fine. And they, it's not legal in Connecticut yet. So what are you going to do? But they, so they haven't learned any curse words from me yet. And they're all very grateful because I do curse and I do, you know, I try to rein it in around children, but it's hard.
Yeah. For me though, they're just words. I don't even know how this sort of got into the public consciousness that these words were bad. Like, I don't even know. If anybody out there knows, like, when in history this started, I would love to know that. Just
I'm sure Google has somebody that wrote a paper on it.
Yes, probably. Yeah, probably. Sure. Okay, so we have a question this week.
Yay!
Before the question, we do have another news update.
Okay, go for it.
Not that I'm not excited about the question, but, Marvel Heroes is shutting down. So if you play Marvel Heroes, the Diablo with Marvel superheroes, it's closing end of December, but everything's free. So if you wanted to play it, go play it now. You get, you know, a month and a half. Also, Splatoon 2 is getting a huge update starting on the 23rd, including 4 new maps, a new Salmon Run stage, 140 pieces of gear, 2 new songs, 4 new hairstyles, and the level cap is being doubled-ish from 50 to 99. And the biggest change, the change that will literally bring my family back to the game, you can finally change equipment in the lobby without having to leave the lobby to change weapons. Mm-hmm. My family has a thing where we like to pass the controller from game to game to game because then everybody gets a turn every 12 minutes or so because there's 4 of us.
Yeah.
But it sucks because then we all have to use the same gun and we don't all like the same gun. Jacob likes to use a roller. I like to use the umbrella thing because it's the shield, et cetera, et cetera. And then we all had to agree. Now we don't. We can all change equipment whenever we want.
Nice.
All that is rolling out soon. And then there is a new competitive mode called Clam Blitz, which is a very, very unfortunate name. that one didn't localize well, guys. And that comes out in mid-December. Okay. So, big-time Splatoon update. So, if you were... And they're putting it all out there now to get it more exciting to make people want to buy it for the holidays. I'm telling you, if you want to Switch, Splatoon 2 is a really freaking good game, especially if your kids want to play shooters, but you don't want to buy them shooting in the head games. You can play this one. You're shooting ink around, and it's fine. Everything's fine. This is a great game.
Yeah.
I've talked about Splatoon plenty. I love Splatoon.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that it was getting an update, but I didn't know how huge it was.
Yeah, I didn't think it was either. I ignored the email until a couple hours later when someone sent me a text message, and I was like, what do you mean it was big? And then I looked at it, and I was like, holy crap, that is big.
Yeah, everybody kept their headlines sort of mellow about that. Because I saw the Polygon, it's like, Splatoon 2 update. I'm like, okay, well, it's
fine. So, I mean, a gun is technically an update, but no, 140 pieces of equipment. The big deal is they're adding winter gear, because they're trying to, like, do it where they add things based on the season, which I think is cool. But they're also adding a bunch of highly requested equipment from the previous game, which is a pretty big deal.
Cool.
From an aesthetic standpoint.
Yeah.
You can customize everything, but, you know, some people really like their... The game is really all about clothes. It's all about dressing up.
Yeah.
So, now you got choices. So, there you go. Now, the question.
Well, actually, I just remembered something that that we didn't mention last week that had already come out. So, or it's not out yet, but it was announced. So the next expansion for Hearthstone has been announced. It's called Kobolds and Catacombs.
Yeah.
It's going to be coming in mid-December. Last week's Tavern Brawl gave you a pack from the expansion. So once again, it sits in your pack thing saying, you can open me in mid-December.
Mm-hmm.
So,
jerks.
Yeah. So they've been revealing a bunch of the cards. So you can find that on the Hearthstone site on Blizzard. So, so yeah, it's cool. I mean, I haven't read up a ton on it, but I just know that it's happening. I think if you probably want the full information want even deeper information besides what that would be on the official site, I recommend that you listen to Steve Lubitz's podcast, which is called Off Curve?
It's called Off Curve, and it's a brilliant use of his commute time because he records it while he's driving.
Smart.
Engage Family Gaming has set our collectible card game Meister to the task, so the day or so after the release or somewhere around there, we will have a relatively deep dive into the mechanics, so you'll know there.
Cool. Yeah. So that's coming out. So now we can move on to the question, which came to us from Jason Levy. Jason actually sent us an email about a month ago talking about his experience finding the SNES Classic, and that's totally on me. I hadn't checked the email account for a while because we never get questions. So I'm like, sorry. So he has a question again, and I want to make sure that we get it. And so he wants to know, as parents of young children, what sort of limits do we set for kids when it comes to playing games? And he talks a little bit about his situation. He has a 5-year-old, plays Mario, Nintendo-type games, or some of the Lego superhero games. And he always sort of watches what he plays, sometimes plays with them. He's not allowed to play anything with guns or anything that's rated T. Like, even with the Lego superheroes thing, like, if he gets a character who uses a gun, he has to switch to playing a different character. So that's the question. I'll go ahead and start with Anna. Probably most of her kind of individual gaming or solitary gaming is on the iPad. She doesn't use the consoles or anything at all. For her solitary gaming, we keep that down to a couple hours. But most of what she plays on there too is educational. About 75% of what she does is educational, and she does it educate. She picks that stuff without being prodded by me or my husband, which is fantastic. Learn with Homer. I'm just going to give them a plug right now because that's where she goes back every time. Learn with Homer is amazing, amazing app for kids learning how to read, just learning how to read. And it's a yearly subscription. I think it's $75 for the year, but you can personalize it with your kids' interests, and it, you know, takes down all of this information about where they are at skill level as far as reading and recognizing numbers and letters, and you enter all that in, and then it gives you like a personalized path, quote unquote, for your kids to play. So that's a really cool one. She comes back to that a lot. She also plays Animal Jam a lot. Like I said, we keep it to like a couple hours. But recently, the majority of her gaming has been sitting with my husband playing Final Fantasy 15 or Mario Odyssey more recently. Although they're back to Final Fantasy 15 because the update came out. And that I don't put a limit on at all because that's family time with her dad. So... yeah. There's no reason to limit that. So that's me. So what about you guys?
I think we do something pretty similar. I find now that my daughter is in all-day preschool, I'm not as worried about her screen time because she's not as interested in it as she was before, which I think is partly that she's just used to being out of the house and having more stimulation, so she's not seeking it. From the screen as much as she had been before, which is kind of a relief because we did have some times where she would get to the point where it was all she wanted to do, and then I'd like not have her do it for a while. Kind of a, you know, touch and go trying to figure out how to do things. So at this point, she probably does less than an hour a day of any kind of screen time from TV and like iPad. Most of the gaming she does is just like you said, educational. Yeah. I'm still a big fan of the Endless Adventure series that you can get on the iPad. Endless Words and Endless Numbers. And,
right.
I think it started with Endless Alphabet. She's playing the one now where it's Endless Words, where she has to put the letters in the correct order. And it has a whole map that you're kind of going through and this whole underground thing. And she just absolutely loves that right now. But she's doing a lot with letters at school. So that's kind of reinforcing what she's been learning. I find TV watching to be different than gaming or being on the iPad, where she will come and go and like play other things while the TV's on, whereas she won't when she has the iPad. She only watches Chris and I playing Pikmin mostly. But I'm thinking this weekend over the holiday of introducing her to Rayman Legends and seeing if she can control the little fly person on the gamepad.
Yeah.
She's got the touchscreen abilities down, and so I'm going to see if she can maybe manipulate that and kind of like have a game that we can all play together to start.
Cool.
So, yeah, so I think we're in the same things. I think it's different for each kid. I think that, you know, there's a lot to be said for how you end screen time. That's really the big thing for me is not to just be like, you know, we're done or whatever, because they need the time to transition out of it. And I just read an article the other day that was talking about, instead of giving like even the countdown, because like that's what a lot of people do, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, countdown to it. That said, one of the really good ways to ease out of screen time is to ask what they're doing and sit. And if they're watching a video or if they're playing a game, ask them about it before you end the screen time so you can deflate a little bit more gently. Then you engage.
That's interesting.
Then it becomes about engaging with you as opposed to giving up this thing that they're getting so much pleasure from. So, I mean, in terms of like how it works in the brain, the engaging with them about it. And I've done that quite a few times since then, and it works like a charm. Like, I'll just be, hey, what's going on? And what are you doing? And she'll show me what she's playing in her game, or she'll show me what video she's watching, and we'll watch it for 2 or 3 minutes. And I'm like, okay, it's time to go do this. And she's like, all right, let's go. Instead of, you know, the meltdown, crying, oh my God, this is the end of the world thing, which we hadn't had as much of, but still triggers sometimes, because your brain is going from that pleasure seeking that you get from the screen to whatever's next. And so the abrupt changes are hard on your brain's chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, as you said too, it's kind of, it's almost just regulated just by school time.
Mm-hmm. So it makes a big difference.
By the time we get Aunt, like I said, she does an after school thing. So by the time I pick her up and bring her home, there's probably half hour, maybe an hour before we have dinner. Mm-hmm. And at that point, like, I'm totally okay with her sort of, I'm gonna say like vegging out, but like,
yeah, me too.
she's been at school with
so
no
much
screen,
stimulation
anything.
And so much interaction with the other kids and the teacher and the learning and all the other things that I'm kind of like, if she wants to use half an hour of time for, you know, YouTube Kids, go for that. I have issues with the YouTube Kids app, but that's a whole nother issue that we can take up at another time. It really needs to have better controls on it, but that's my opinion.
Yeah. We ended up taking YouTube off of the iPad, so Anna doesn't watch videos at all. And the funny thing is she hasn't watched TV in, like maybe once since she started school, just because of the way that, you know, the schedule is now. And when Isaac's home, she's playing Final Fantasy or something with him. So,
yeah,
it's been interesting. All right, so that's us.
Yeah.
Steven, what about you?
So, I have three kids of three different ages and at three development levels, so it's a little different. You know, I have a 5-year-old who's probably in the same boat as she's not five yet, but she will be in less than a month. So, I think we kind of hit the nail on the head before, right? Like every parent knows their kid better than I do. So, we don't really have significant content controls, you know, specifically, you know, he talked about not being allowed to use guns. They learn enough about guns on the news that shielding them from them in games is pointless to me. They have active shooter drills at school once every other month. So guns exist, and so we don't worry about taking them away, because whatever, at least they're good guys. So we aren't so worried about that. With that said, you know, my older son, who is 11, I give him a lot more leeway as far as what he plays, but he has to be very careful about what he plays with his brother and sister in the room. So, for example, when he stays up late, he can play Destiny, which by all accounts is, I mean, it's a T-rated game, but I mean, it's intense. You're fighting aliens and it's kind of gruesome, but I won't let him play it with his younger brother, who is 9, because, you know, he doesn't need to see that. As far as time restrictions, historically, I actually haven't limited them outside of the fact that, you know, they have practical limitations. They have to do their homework and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, my oldest son is in a gifted program, and both of my other kids are you know, doing well grade-wise. So as long as I do the work, I really haven't pushed it too hard. However, you know, actually recently we canceled cable and are limiting specifically video game time to the weekends just because they were using it irresponsibly. Because I really believe in, you know, media is, you know, reading too many books is just as bad for me, as far as I'm concerned, as playing too many video games. And so, yeah, I mean, it's all about balance. And the reality is they had all these toys they weren't taken care of and they weren't going outside to play, specifically because my wife closed the daycare. So they aren't going outside to play as much. So they were just coming home and either pulling out the Switch and playing whatever was the flavor of the day or and just not doing anything productive other than their homework. And I was like, guys, you got your academics good, but you got to do some other stuff. Specifically, they were getting kind of an attitude about it. And I think one of the things that hit me this weekend, and, you know, when I read this question, I was like, you know, I want to talk about it, that video games are luxury entertainment products. And there are a lot of kids, specifically my own, and I recognize being that I run a media website and get a lot of these things for free, that I'm kind of in a place of privilege. But holy crap, are they in a place of privilege?
Right.
I think that it's that part of the limiting of video games and media, and this was kind of an awakening literally that I had while driving home from Philadelphia, is that this is, you know, like, limiting media isn't necessarily about, like, protecting their brains and things like that. Like, I'm not worried about that at all. We talk plenty about the media that, but it's kind of like, dude, you got to understand how cool it is that you have this and that there are lots of kids that don't. And I know that sounds kind of, you know, kind of preachy, but, like, you know, like, these games are expensive. You know, they're cheap compared to how they are to make, but games are expensive and they're luxury entertainment products. And there are kids in the world that they play soccer because all they can do is strap some garbage together and they can kick it. So,
yeah,
like, shut up and put your laundry in the laundry basket. Because so you can play your thousands of dollars worth of video games. So I think that's a big piece of what we're doing. I know that's kind of a tangent, but it just hit me. So I wanted to talk about it at some point. You know, I think what was Jason that sent in that question.
Yeah.
I totally respect everything him and his family does. I think that's rad that he plays with his son. I mean, he mentioned that at the end and I was like, yeah, because for me, it doesn't really matter what you're playing with them. I mean, you just, I just want to see people playing with their kids. Because because it's family time, you know, context matters, you know, vegging out for 5 hours watching a Teen Titans Go marathon is different than, you know, sitting on your dad's lap playing Final Fantasy 15, which admittedly, that may be the only father daughter pairing that does that, in the whole world, but like, it's totally like, they're going to remember that, right? Like she's going to. She's going to think about Noctis and his three buddies when she's, you know, like, she's going to have fond memories of those forever. And you can't, I wouldn't, putting a limit on that just because it's a screen would be crazy. Who wants to limit parent time? So no, I love all of that. So yeah, I know I rambled a bunch, but that's my job. That's why I'm here. So, so good on you, Jason. Hopefully we gave you some ideas. You know, and I wasn't criticizing your wife's opinion on guns, by the way. If she doesn't want him to see guns, then by all means, protect him from that for as long as he can. Because we live in a very, very dark, scary, and depressing world.
Yes. Yes.
Scary stuff going on.
Keep that kid happy and innocent for as long as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And don't watch The Punisher on Netflix. Just throwing it out there. I don't know if you were in the mood to watch some Punisher with him as like an intro. Maybe start
don't
with like
watch Guardian. Deadpool with your kid.
Yeah, don't watch Deadpool. Don't watch Punisher. Maybe start with Guardians of the Galaxy. Star-Lord has a gun, but he's funny.
Yes. There's also not, I would a, lot much rather, not a lot of blood violence.
Correct. Yeah. I would much rather my son's first exposure to guns, if I could limit it, would be Chris Pratt. than Ryan Reynolds or whoever the guy is that played Punisher. Just throwing it out there for Jason, in case he was curious about what stuff on Netflix to rock and roll with.
Okay. All right, so let's move into what we're playing. As mentioned earlier in the show, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp came out today. That's what I spent most of my time doing today. As I mentioned, I couldn't do it until after I was done volunteering, but I played it just as much as I could all the way up until we started recording. I'm still just sort of getting, you know, into all of the gameplay stuff. So it takes a little while to get going, but I'm catching my fish, I'm catching my bugs, and they've sort of, the fishing mechanic works pretty much exactly like it does in the other games. The bug catching is different. So they made the bug catching more like the fish catching. So you sneak up on the bug, and then it gives you a hint that that's the time to swing your net, which was never the case before. And you have your own campsite. You get materials from people. You craft furniture and things. And if you want some of your in-game friends to come to your campsite, they want you to have a specific type of furniture and all that kind of stuff.
Some
and then they ask,
super picky.
I know.
What? Why do you have demands that were in my campsite? What? Yeah.
I want a modern sofa and a porch swing.
Okay.
But I guess it's sort of, I think that the way that it works is that you don't have to place those items. Like, you just have to have them in your collection.
Okay.
Because when I read the text later, it said you must have collected X item. So you don't have to fill your campsite with 5 different couches.
No, because some of them are like 6 different items. So it's like, jeez. Not even, you know, to the second place where you can put stuff. I'm supposed to have, like, every, like, square in my little living room area. Like,
yeah. I haven't really done... I mean, I opened up the thing to add a friend, and it's being silly with, like, stupid codes that you have to put in.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that
just
either.
Just irritating. So we'll all have to share our codes afterwards.
Yes.
But I like it so far. It's pretty cool. What else have I been playing? Hearthstone, Cooking Dash. We got our new TV.
Woo-hoo! Yay!
So the TV has been completely taken over by Isaac and Anna, playing Final Fantasy on the TV now, and Mario on the TV, as opposed to just on the small screen.
The screen,
before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Anna named her character in the multiplayer Final Fantasy 15. I think it was, I'm going to get it wrong. It was like Alphonsa or something, like with a T-H, like A-L-T-H-O-N-S-A. And, you know,
I like that.
I know. My husband's like, that kind of fits. Like, you could believe that as a Final Fantasy character name. So,
100%. 100%.
Yeah. So, all right.
In fact, that might not be, I mean, that might be a little too weird in some cases. So, like, she might have out Final Fantasy'd Final Fantasy. Oh, wait. Speaking of Final Fantasy, are you guys going to get Tekken because Noctis is a DLC fighter in it?
No. No plans.
I got excited because Final Fantasy is everywhere. So I'm like, oh, I wonder if Anna is going to want Noctis. Are you guys going to get the Final Fantasy fighting game?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I wanted to play multiplayer against Anna and have her like use all Noctis all the time and have her just beat me up. Come on, that'd be funny actually. If we had a Gaming with the Moms Twitch channel,
yeah, that
you would do
fun.
It just so we could stream that. You would.
Yeah.
You would.
Yeah, probably. Okay, that's me. Regina, what have you been playing?
Pretty much the same, minus the Cooking Dash. I started I can't remember what it's called.
The Animal Crossing
this afternoon. I only got to play for about an hour before we started recording, but I love it already. I can totally see myself playing many, many hours of it.
Yes.
Pretty fun. I'm glad it's mobile, finally, and I have something on my phone I can play since I do a lot of gaming on my phone.
Yeah.
Or my tablet.
It's almost kind of bad for me because the UI is so small that I kind of need my glasses.
Oh.
So now I'm going to have to carry my glasses with me everywhere. I'm totally going to turn into like one of those old grannies that
with
wears the glasses around the neck on the, yeah.
Just get the monocle one so then you can look cool like holding it while you're,
yeah. All right, sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. Go on. The only other thing I've been playing is Hearthstone. I got that same pack that you were talking about from the next expansion waiting for me from last week's Tavern Brawl, which I really enjoyed that Tavern Brawl. I'm trying to remember what it was exactly. Was the gimmick for it.
I don't remember either.
I don't remember. I played it like 3 times. Yeah, I won the first one. I played like 3 or 4 times because I was just like, this is so much fun. I like them when you don't have to make a deck.
Yes. Yes, that's the way I am now. Like, I'll enter it, and if it says make deck, I'm like, nope. I'm out.
I'll come back next week. I still do it when it's make a deck, but I like the ones better where I like the ones where you're fighting, like, some boss guy who's got, like, a whole bunch of, you know, that's two, like, bosses going against each other.
And, yeah.
I will play that multiple times until I get both bosses. But, so that's pretty much what I've had. We're watching a lot of shows right now for the Geek Embassy, so I've been spending a lot of time catching up TV.
Did you find someone else to do Stranger Things with us?
Yes, I did. My friend Mark is going to join us. He's already done. I don't know if you're done yet. I haven't finished. I'm only on the second episode right now, so I still need to finish the series before we can do it. So I'm guessing maybe probably the end of the year we'll be able to do it at the start of next year. So, so that's cool. You know, announcement for everybody. We're going to be doing a show on Stranger Things.
Yes. Okay. All right, Steven, what have you been playing?
Most of what I have been playing has been I'm just trying to think. Most of it has been board games and stuff, getting ready for PAX Unplugged. So, I mean, I already talked about Stuff Fables, and that's pretty good. I spent all weekend shilling board games for Restoration Games because I was working at their booth to get my badges because I am never going to go to a conventions as an exhibitor as opposed to press every time I possibly can. Mm-hmm. So much better. But the biggest thing I want to say is that I got a chance to look at the map for their Fireball Island game. Because they're remaking Fireball Island. Do you remember Fireball Island? Mm-hmm. The one with the map that was vacuum formed that had the volcano at the top and spit out the marbles. You absolutely remember it, Nicole. You know it. You remember it. Don't be a hater. It's going to Kickstarter in January, so go to Restoration Games and sign up for the mailing list. You'll like it. But most of the stuff I played was board games. And I talked about most of them on my podcast. So you can listen to Engage, a family gaming podcast this week. I recorded it with my board game editor on the way home.
Nice.
Good job.
So, cool. So I think that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any other feedback, you can send an email to gamingwiththemoms@gmail.com. You can also tweet at us at gamingwithmoms. What? Regina. Isaac, Stephen's daughter is entertaining us, by the way. Regina is from the Geek Embassy. There's a few things going on there. I'm gonna be at the Geek Embassy soon. I'm gonna be writing about Game of Thrones.
Nicole is coming in to write about Game of Thrones for the Geek Embassy. She'll be a full-fledged ambassador starting in the next couple weeks. Yay! We'll be recording on Stranger Things at some point in the not-too-distant future. We just wrapped up the Geek Embassy Watches Star Trek Discovery, which is an absolutely fantastic series. It had a really rocky start, but it has really hit its pace in the 8th episode, it really just kind of like got into it, so it's really good. We're also going to be watching Marvel's Runaways, which just released on Hulu yesterday as well, so that's just out. We're going to be doing weekly recordings of that to kind of intersperse with Discovery's out until January 14th or something like that, so we're picking up Marvel now, and we will fit Stranger Things in there. That's why my gaming time is limited, because I keep having all these shows I'm keeping up on. But make sure to go over and check us out at the Geek Embassy, and got some good stuff up there. Yeah.
Steven is from Engaged Family Gaming. He just went to PAX Unplugged. What else is going on, Steven?
Mostly catching up from PAX Unplugged and getting ready for the PlayStation experience in 2 weeks. I would keep your eye. Well, you won't see this. Well, this is, when is this going up?
Hopefully tomorrow. I'm gonna try.
Okay. So if you see this, if you hear this before Black Friday and you want some ideas, tonight, after all my kids go to bed, I will be doing a special Black Friday edition of the EFG show, where I will actually go through all of these websites and find video game deals, and you can see that video. I'll probably find some Cyber Monday crap too, so it'll probably be worth it no matter what. But if you want to see me stumble through the internet trying to find good deals on video games, go to my Facebook page. The rest of it, subscribe to the podcast. We are heavily pushing our Instagram channel. We are almost at 600 followers.
Nice.
Cool.
Get there. Like it. Facebook does not like media anymore. So we're moving entirely to Instagram and Twitter just about. So I love that you liked our Facebook page. Like us on Instagram and follow us on Twitter, because that's the best place to find stuff about us. Because Facebook has basically abandoned us. I have over 1,000 followers. I post stuff and 80 people see it. So it's rough out there, folks. And I don't have the budget to promote everything. So, but Instagram, you'll see just about everything, especially if you like my stuff. And I hear rumors that pictures are more entertaining than text anyway. So you'll know when we're doing cool stuff.
Cool. All right. So that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening, and we will be back with you next week.
Bye. Bye.